The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to today's podcast, sponsored by Hillsdale College. All things Hillsdale at hillsdale.edu. I encourage you to take advantage of the many free online courses there. And, of course, to listen to the Hillsdale Dialogues, all of them at hughforhillsdale.com, or just Google Apple, iTunes, and Hillsdale.
Morning, glory, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. I did Super Tuesday all day yesterday and Super Tuesday all day on Monday. And what I'm doing today is driving down to see the grandkids one more time before I leave for the East Coast and don't see them to the summer. So I asked if Kurt Schlichter couldn't get up early and come on in and bother Dwayne and trash the studio. And so, Kurt Schlichter, take it away.
Thank you, Hugh Hewitt. I am Kurt Schlichter, senior columnist at townhall.com, author of the new novel, The Attack, a novel of a terrorist attack, not unlike 10/7, occurring here in America. It is acclaimed. It's got hundreds and hundreds of five-star reviews on Amazon, and it has been a bestseller, number one military thriller. So you should check out The Attack by Kurt Schlichter. I'm also a retired United States Army colonel and a noted Los Angeles trial lawyer, and I am excited to be welcoming back to the Hugh Hewitt radio program Noah Rothman, National Review senior political writer. Noah, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Kurt. Good to see you, and congratulations on the novel.
Oh, thank you very much. I suggest you read it. It'll scare the heck out of you. But you know what else scares? But you know what else scares the heck out of me? The thought of having to watch Joe Biden at the State of the Union, and you've got to do that tonight. I pity you.
Oh, they pay me for it, so yeah, that's a little bit of a something that makes you get out of bed in the morning, but it's not a lot. I'll give you that.
Well, what do you expect to hear from our alleged president tonight?
I don't know what I expect to hear. What I'm looking for is more what I expect to see, which is, you know, back in the day, Roger Ailes would evaluate talent by turning the sound off and watch an anchor and see whether or not they had it or didn't. And I think you could do the same with the State of the Union tonight, because what I'm really looking for is body language. And I think quite a lot of, unfortunately, because I think quite a lot of the president's very nervous backers will be doing the exact same thing. If I hear, there won't be a lot that you hear in any State of the Union that you remember a year later. There will be a variety of policy proposals, some pie in the sky stuff to energize progressives. That's the boilerplate that we can expect from Joe Biden in terms of substance. And if he were to divert from that to like appeal to, for example, disaffected Nikki Haley voters on the right by giving them some policy concessions, that would be remarkable. I don't expect to hear that. But what I expect to see is vigor. I expect to see a Joe Biden who is unusually rested for 9 p.m., because that's what everybody needs to see. They need to see a commander in chief who looks like he's in command and he's cogent and capable well past his bedtime.
Well, look, frankly, the bar is so low, it'd be difficult to limbo under it for Joe Biden. I mean, he practically, you know, if he doesn't break his hip walking up to the podium, and if he manages to read the teleprompter with you know, some level of competence, he's going to pass the basic test. But he does risk you know, complete disaster. I mean, if he rambles on or stops in the middle of a sentence and just kind of stares for a couple minutes, I mean, that could change everything, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's just it. It's a very high risk, low reward proposition. The risk is that he has a Joe Biden moment. I mean, we can't even call them senior moments anymore. They're Joe Biden moments. He owns them. And if he were to have one of those very predictable events where he just sort of wanders off, it would be a disaster. It would be all that anybody remembers from that speech. By contrast, if he were to have just an okay night, you know, just kind of muddle through and not have any big event, a lot of Democrats, a lot of Joe Biden supporters would breathe a sigh of relief that he made it through, but it wouldn't change the fundamental dynamic of this race in which Joe Biden is behind because his supporters and detractors alike do not think he's up to the job.
Well, he's manifestly not up to the job. Of course, there's a lot of speculation, Noah Rothman, about, well, you know, we're somehow going to change out and, you know, we're going to get Michelle Obama in August, or Gavin Newsom's going to come along. And I kind of see that as nonsense. I'm kind of a process guy. I don't see a process where you dislodge a president who believes his own hype. Joe Biden believes he is, the second coming of FDR. His wife, the alleged doctor, is not going to want to leave the White House. And the thousands of flunkies he's installed in office are not going to want to leave either. I just, even if there's a disaster today, Noah Rothman, I don't see how the Democrats get rid of him.
Yeah, that's just it. There really is no mechanism for ejecting him unless there was it was really monumental consensus, an unassailable consensus on the left, at which point would we be talking about 25th Amendment solutions. We wouldn't be talking necessarily about the convention. That's just pie in the sky. And I've been saying since 2021, that's very unlikely that Joe Biden wouldn't be on the ballot in 2024, because for the very same reasons you just described, a lot of people owe their careers to him being in the Oval Office. A lot of people in the White House and a lot of people in the executive branch would not have a future in the absence of Joe Biden being the president. And for that reason alone, I have assumed that they would prop him up on his horse like El Cid, even if he had a catastrophic medical event, and ride with him into battle, because there's absolutely no alternative. The alternative is chaos. The Democratic Party has institutional memory about what happens when you sacrifice an incumbent, or rather when an incumbent sacrifices himself. And the outcomes are not good. So even if they've got a very flawed candidate on their hands, they bought the ticket, they're going to have to take the ride.
Well, you know, the last time one of them did it, you had a convention in Chicago. We're going to have a convention in Chicago this year. What do you see happening there? Do you see the kind of chaos that we saw almost 60 years ago? Do you think it's going to be tightly scripted and present Joe Biden in the best possible light, and the activists will cooperate by not going completely crazy? Or do you think it's going to be a total fiasco?
I think it'll be very scripted. There will definitely be the protest element that follows Joe Biden everywhere he goes, has camped out in front of Secretary of State Antony Blinken's house, the malcontents who make themselves very unattractive and unsympathetic. They'll be there in force. Will they have the kind of 1968 energy? Probably not, because the inducement won't be there. There's not going to be a Hubert Humphrey finding his way into the top of the ticket and setting off a series of confrontations in the streets. I don't see that happening. I see a very scripted event, one that is trying to make as few waves as possible. You know, these conventions, I don't know if I have very much expectation that the conventions will demonstrate anything other than pretty remote, you know, party unity, superficial party unity, and some, you know, highlights from the movers and shakers in the Democratic Party. Same with the Republican Party, by the way. But no, I don't have any expectation that this will be a particularly chaotic event. One thing that this Democratic Party has been able to do with their candidate, despite his lack of ability, is to script around him and sufficiently stage manage and do advance work to the point that the only element of surprise is the president. They've got that pretty well down, that they can manage the environment around him.
Yeah, you can't manage him.
Is Joe Biden.
Yeah. Who knows what Joe Biden's going to do? Extemporaneous Joe Biden is the worst Joe Biden. You can just hear the teeth clench with his staff when he starts talking off script. You mentioned manifestations of unity in the Republican convention. Now, Nikki Haley dropped out yesterday, and producer Dwayne has convinced me that it was probably smart of her not to endorse Donald Trump yesterday. To take a little time, I would think that they should appear somewhere together and publicly bury the hatchet. Do you think that's in the cards?
I don't know. I really don't know. Nikki Haley has been talking for both just about the last 2 or 3 weeks, like she knows she does not have a future in Republican politics. She's been saying as much. If I were here, I wouldn't be here. I think she said, roughly, I'm paraphrasing. I wouldn't be here if I was concerned about my political future. And she, her speech when she got out of the race yesterday, put the ball in Donald Trump's court, said, look, the onus is on you to make amends here, to appeal to my voters. One of the things I've been working through over the last couple of days, and I can't quite reconcile them, is the protest vote that we've seen in the primaries, not all of whom are Republicans who voted against Donald Trump, but quite a few are, and it would be silly and foolish for the right to dismiss that as just, you know, resistance libs coming out to vote against Donald Trump. And general election head-to-head polling between Donald Trump and Joe Biden that shows Donald Trump getting 90+% of the Republican vote, retaining 97% of his 2020 vote. These two things are irreconcilable, and it tells me that Republicans aspire to come home. They
well,
want
I think
to
they do
home.
Aspire they to come home, Noah come Rothman home. Of National Review. I have a guest of the show who I always enjoy having, despite the fact that he was a naval officer. I won't hold that against him. Representative Mike Garcia of California 27. Congressman Garcia, welcome to the Hugh Hewitt radio program.
Hey, good morning, Kurt. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
All right. Well, I typically don't talk to aviators, being a ground pounder, but I'll make an exception for you. Did you have a good night on Tuesday?
Yeah, we did, actually. We had a fantastic evening. Very low voter turnout. Only about 20% of the registered voters actually showed up. But just for background and as a reminder, I'm in a district that is now down to 29% Republican registration, and we managed to get about 58-59% of the vote, which is fantastic, obviously, but running against, at the time, two Democrats, and now it'll just be one Democrat. But we had a very good night, but obviously in November things will tighten up, voter turnout will increase, and when you're in a blue district like mine, and you know you're a conservative like I am, that higher voter turnout will tighten up the election results. So we're still running like hell and raising money, and we treat all of our opponents the same. We take them all very seriously, and we've had 33 now in 4 years, so we dispose of them all properly. But we are aggressive. We run hard.
Well, tell us about this later pseudo-communist Democrat who's trying to steal back this seat.
Yeah, this guy is a former chief of staff of NASA, former CEO of Virgin Galactic, which while he was there under his tenure there, it was a company that was supposed to go to space, and he ended up driving it into the ground instead. They had a major mishap there under his leadership with some serious cultural issues, and Virgin Galactic, is now basically falling apart as a result of that. We're not sure he lives in the district, and he is effectively a far left progressive who isn't getting traction and not working too hard. But, you know, he's a self-funded millionaire. He's one of these limousine progressives who has thrown a couple million dollars at his own race here. So he's trying to buy a seat. And fortunately, you know, my constituents and my voters are very smart, especially after the Katie Hill saga, if you remember her.
They
actually do pay attention to the candidates, that was reflected on Tuesday night.
Well, you spent so much time serving our country in the United States Navy as an aviator. You don't have tens of millions of dollars to throw at a vanity campaign. How can people help you, Mike Garcia, to hold this important seat in the 27th district?
Well, the biggest thing is to vote, right? The fact that we only had 20% show up to vote, most of the Republicans did, which is fantastic, but we need voters to pay attention right now on both their values, not just a blind loyalty to a party. We've got a lot of Kennedy Democrats right now who are actually voting for me because they're actually relatively conservative compared to the Democrat Party's elected officials in office, especially in the House of Representatives. So the big thing is to get smart on the issues, understand the consequences of the policies that are being pushed, especially in California. You know, I'm trying to prevent the country from turning into California.
No.
So the number one issue is vote. Number two issue is to educate yourselves. And if you'd like to support our campaign, electmikegarcia.com for any donation, a very expensive media market. We've got a great team, great volunteers, but it's expensive. The Dems will spend between $10 and $15 million
again
in the cycle, if you can believe that. Yeah.
ElectMikeGarcia.com to help Mike Garcia hold this critical seat. You're the only Republican seat in Los Angeles County, right?
Yeah, I'm in a sea of blue. This was the first seat flipped in California in 22 years. First all L.A. County representative in something like 25 years. And the craziest stat, which I didn't know because I'm not a big identity politics guy at all, but first Hispanic Republican to represent California in Congress since 1883. So
wow.
This is a historic seat for us. This is a must hold, and as you can imagine, the Democrat machine, the DNC, is just absolutely beside themselves. They can't figure out how they can get rid of the last Republican in LA County, and the 58% or so results from Tuesday night are just confounding them. They're absolutely beside themselves. They spent so much money. They've spent probably between $30 and $35 million over the last 4 years against me, Kurt, and this is our little round top, to use a good army metaphor.
Nice.
You, you understand that we got to hold this ground.
Nice. Fix bayonets and charge down that hill. ElectMikeGarcia.com to help Mike Garcia keep that critical seat. Now, Mike, I don't envy what you have to do tonight, which is sit in the Capitol and listen to that desiccated old corrupt pervert of a alleged president ramble on for at least 40 minutes in the State of the Union. Now, Hugh has a great idea, which is I think you and your compadres should applaud at length and just kind of extend things out so that he starts wavering and shimmying as whatever they pump into his veins wears off. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the medications are going to have a half-life for sure. Look, we can do that, draw it out, and prove to the American people. The American people already know. First of all, this is a massive case of elderly abuse on a national stage, and to do this every year at the State of the Union, it's painful to watch. But the voters are already aware of this, right? They know that. And by the way, he wasn't a great elected official before he started having cognitive challenges in his older age. He was a terrible politician before, and at this point, he's just an incompetent commander-in-chief. And so this will be a display of effectively an expired politician on the decline who is using the bully pulpit of the State of the Union address as a campaign effort. The contrast will come during the debate. The reality of his mental state will become very evident during the debate.
Oh, he's never good. Debate? Come on. That guy? Come on.
That's right. Yeah. So he ran a basement campaign last cycle. They'll do that again this cycle. But the American people know this already. So we've got to control, alt, delete, the entire White House and his cabinet.
Reboot.
Exactly, and winter's coming, and we'll have a turnover, and we will have good results in the fall. But next January, we'll have the House, the White House, as well as the Senate, and we'll fix the country.
Congressman Mike Garcia, as someone who's a representative, you're actually on the ground there. Is there, you look at the State of the Union, the president comes out, shakes a lot of hands. Is this one day where the Congress kind of comes together and, people have collegiality, or is the same kind of bitterness present?
No, I think, everyone has respect for the fact that you have the president coming into the chamber. This is a longstanding tradition of a nation now 247 years old. But the common denominator and the great unifier here is going to be, all of us probably in shock that this guy is in charge of our country. Even the Democrats right now are embarrassed by him. If they can get him off the ticket, they would. And so the common sort of emotion is going to be one of fear and not only of the last 3.5 years of damage, but what is he capable of doing for the rest of his tenure here and during 2024? And frankly, the Democrats are going to be on pins and needles just fearful of what's going to come out of his mouth, and the implications of his behavior on that podium. So, it's the State of the Union. There should be decorum, but this is going to be displayed.
Well, Congressman Mike Garcia of the 27th District, electmikegarcia.com.
Want to remind everyone, a great sponsor of the program is myphdweightloss.com. Generalissimo went on that program more than a year ago, lost 50 pounds. He's kept it off. And stress eating is not allowed, I don't believe, even though we're under a lot of...
You're tempted to this week, aren't we?
Everybody is. But we don't... I'm sure they give you tricks of the trade to combat that, because that's one of the habits. You broke that habit. You're not going by Del Taco or Taco Bell.
Have not. No.
You haven't relapsed.
Have not relapsed.
And that is and it's healthy, it's wise, it's productive.
864-644-1900.
That's
864-644-1900.
And you know from the amazing Joy Division bumper music, Love Will Tear Us Apart, one of the great, another one of my top 10 favorite songs, that it's Kurt Schlichter guest hosting for the great Hugh Hewitt here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I was at CPAC a couple weeks ago, and I had a chance to meet somebody I've wanted to meet for a long time. His name is Mike Davis. He is the director of the Article 3 Project. He is a lawyer extraordinaire, and he is our guest here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you for having me, Kurt.
Oh, well, look, I'm a lawyer. You're a lawyer. We're not going to talk about the attorney-client confidence stuff that we discussed. But the Hugh Hewitt radio program, thanks to Hugh, who is also part of the tribe, we have a very sophisticated legal audience here, and the audience is very concerned about what is happening with the legal attacks on President Trump. But before we get to that, tell us a little about the Article 3 Project.
Yeah, so the Article 3 Project defends constitutionalist judges and the rule of law. These federal judges have lifetime tenure. They have pay protection. They're not supposed to care about the politics, but they are still humans. And so we want to make sure when there are decisions that are before the Supreme Court and the lower federal courts that these judges need to make, where they need to follow the Constitution, but the left-wing mob doesn't like that. They want to threaten and intimidate them outside of their homes. We want to make sure that there is a group out there to defend them, to make the case publicly and politically for what they're doing and why they're doing that. We've also spent a lot of our time over the last 2 years defending Trump on this lawfare. It was kind of a lonely fight for the first 6 months after the unprecedented, unnecessary, and unlawful a raid on President Trump for presidential records. He's allowed to have the Presidential Records Act. We were one of the lone voices out there, the tip of the spear defending Trump. And so we've been doing that for, 2 years, over 3,000 media hits. And it seems to have worked, because this lawfare seems to be backfiring pretty badly on Biden.
Well, it is backfiring pretty badly, Mike Davis of the Article 3 Project. Right now, I want to talk to you very quickly about six cases, a quick summary, so people understand what the status is on the four criminal cases and these two civil judgments that the Donald Trump is facing. The New York case is apparently going to trial later this month. What is your legal opinion of the merits of this case? How do you think it's going to turn out?
It's a garbage case like the rest of them. This is probably the worst of the criminal cases from the Democrats' perspective. Essentially, what George Soros-funded Manhattan DA has charged President Trump with is Trump is a businessman who settled a nuisance claim, and Alvin Bragg has somehow turned that into multiple felony campaign finance violations for literally trumped-up charges for bookkeeping violations. And these are charges that the prior Manhattan DA passed over, the Manhattan U.S. Attorney passed over, the Federal Election Commission passed over, and Alvin Bragg himself passed over. And it wasn't until Matthew Colangelo, a senior Biden Justice Department political appointee, got sent from the number three office in the Biden Justice Department to Alvin Bragg's office to who resurrects or this zombie case against Trump, the first indictment ever against a former president who happens to be the leading presidential candidates. And now this is their first in their lawfare. This is the first that will go to trial on March 25th against Trump. And it is a laughably stupid legal theory. And frankly, I think it's when the American people tune into this, I think the American people are going to be angry that the Democrats are trying to interfere in the election with this lawfare.
Well, so far, just indicting Donald Trump seems to make him more popular. I expect a conviction on a Manhattan jury. Do you expect the state courts in New York to toss this on appeal, or will it have to get cert all the way up to the Supreme Court?
Well, you never know in New York. I mean, left-wing Democrat judges have taken over the judicial system in New York and just turned it into a third-world Marxist hellhole. So I imagine that the Supreme Court of the United States may have to step in and say that this is nonsense. You can't do this to the presidential candidate. You can't bring bogus state charges against a presidential candidate and destroy American democracy that Democrats pretend like they're protecting.
Mike Davis, the Article 3 Project, very briefly, the January 6th case, the Jack Smith case in Washington, D.C., looks like that's not going to be tried before the election.
Yeah, so the Democrats thought that this was going to be their silver bullet. They were going to have Jack Smith charge President Trump for January 6th. In front of a D.C. Obama judge, Tanya Shutkin, in a 95% Trump deranged jury pool. And they thought they were going to get this case started on Monday, this previous Monday. But President Trump correctly said that there is this issue of presidential immunity, that if you cannot charge federal judges, you can't charge members of Congress for crimes based upon their official acts. So why the heck can you charge the president of the United States? People laughed at that argument, but now the Supreme Court's going to take that case at the end of April, and that case won't get decided until the end of June, and President Trump's not going to get tried before the election, almost certainly.
Now, my suspicion about that case will be that the Supreme Court rejects the notion that there is absolute immunity for the president, but will say official acts are immunized, and then send it back to the lower court for a determination of which acts are and are not immunized with resulting damage to the indictments. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's how they should rule, is that whatever Trump allegedly did in his official capacity as the president, like, for example, deciding whether to fire his acting attorney general, which Jack Smith stupidly charged President Trump as a predicate fact in the crime, then that would be immune from criminal prosecution. Yeah, it's just that people need to wake up.
Oh, that's insane.
Jack Smith is.
Look. Nobody is dumber than a law professor or an MSNBC legal commentator or a Twitter lawyer, except for me and you and a few others, other than a major Republican donor. They are always, always wrong. Never believe them. Believe guys like you, me, and Hugh Hewitt. The Florida case, do you think that's going to be tried before the election?
No, because we're dealing with so many pretrial motions and procedures, including the Classified Information Procedures Act. And remember, none of these are crimes. It's not a crime for a former president to have his presidential records. It's specifically allowed under the Presidential Records Act passed by Congress. That's why Congress gives former presidents the office of former president with federally funded staff, with security clearances, with secure office space, with Secret Service protection. How does the Biden Justice Department charge a former president for having his presidential records and not, but say that the former vice president, Joe Biden, who had stolen classified records, five stashes of stolen classified records, moved several times including records from his time as vice president, even senator, moved several times, accessible by his Chinese agents, almost certainly used by Hunter for their foreign corruption. And they don't, and Rob Hur, Garland's special counsel, doesn't charge Biden because he's too old and senile. Yet they're going to bring this unprecedented indictment against Trump for records he's allowed to have.
Has the Trump team adequately preserved the selective prosecution theory to dismiss this case?
Yes, and I don't even think it's going to even go there. I think Tanya Shuckin is going to, I think that Judge Eileen Cannon is a fair judge down in Florida. She's going to do what every federal judge is supposed to do, which is to make sure that the criminal defendant gets due process and a fair trial. And I think Trump's going to prevail. I think Trump will prevail at trial in this case. I don't think there's any chance that there's going to be a criminal conviction in this case.
And very quickly, we only have about 15 seconds, the Georgia case. How do you see that going?
Well, Fannie blew that one. Big Fannie Willis.
Oh,
down
wow.
There.
That's a car wreck.
She decided to hire her secret boyfriend and lie about it, committed perjury, subordination of perjury. She took bribes, allegedly. She took
amazing.
She had an illegal financial stake in this criminal prosecution.
And she has to be disqualified. Mike Davis of the Article 3 Project giving you his insights into the Trump criminal cases. Wish we could have gone on longer, get to the civil cases. I'm Kurt Schlichter. We'll be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.